Objects exist. How your objects are is structured. You have to inquire into this family style, the qualities of seas and mountains beyond seeming square or round are endlessly numerous. So until you can see these numerous qualities in the ocean, in the object, in the mountains, in the trees you see now. Anyway, we have to train our six senses constantly. By what? What meditation is best way? We should realize there exists worlds everywhere. Those qualities of seas and mountains are what you cannot see. It's not something far from us. They exist right in front of us and within them, within us. So we should realize there exists a world everywhere. It's not only that in out-of-the-way places know that even a single drop right before us is also thus. So even a single dew think exists exactly like this. So that's why in the Sutra of the Mountains and Water mentioned by Dogen Zenji, he says the instant moment, instant present of the mountains and water are total manifestation of Buddha's ancestors. He says first sentence, as a first sentence. That means we always see the mountains as mountains, but according to Dogen's and ancestors who realize myriad qualities of mountains and rivers, we cannot see. Anyway, suggest us to see the mountains as ancestors and Buddhas means something more than concept of the mountains and seas you have believed. So don't act quickly on the concept of the mountain according to your understanding. So even though you don't see it, don't struggle for it. But anyway, sit in zazen and calm your six senses and go deeply into you. And then naturally depth of the self is exactly the same as the depth of the world. There are two important points here. In the beginning I mentioned one point is that there is no space for you to understand or to touch something true. No space. No space, no room for you. That's why I mentioned the more you try to research, you try to inquire into the true meaning of the self, the more you feel unsatisfactory. Okay? So no matter how long you try to get it, you can't get it. So it means no space for you to try to get it with your hands. This is one aspect, okay? Second, if so, should we give up? the idea of giving up means is already one of your understanding. So it's not right. So completely, the second point is in the realm of no space for you to poke your head into the truth, you have to seek for it. Okay? In other words, on the foundation of nothing, no space, no room, you have to build up your house. This is a Buddhistic way. Not Buddhistic way, this is a true way of human life. Wherever you may go. Okay. So let's see. I think the other day I mentioned Manas, seventh consciousness. One of the unconsciousness. Manas is a self-attachment consciousness. Okay. In other words, the ego consciousness, very deep. It is unconscious. It is unconscious. Okay. So in the Buddhist psychology, it set up a seventh consciousness among the eight consciousnesses. Okay, six consciousnesses, and Manas. And Araya Vijnana, eight consciousness. Okay? Eight consciousnesses in all. And Manas is a very source, base, and source of ego consciousness, which is unconscious. Okay? It has three characteristics. Buddhist psychology mentions like this: Manas always accompanied by Satkaya Drishti, which means congenital concept of I. Congenital means inborn concept of I. So the Manas always accompanied by the congenital concept of I continues spontaneously in a perpetual and homogeneous series. So 3 points. One is Manas is spontaneous. Second, Manas is perpetual. Manas is homogeneous. Okay. Those 3 points are the point of the difference between six consciousnesses and seventh consciousness, Manas. Okay. Six consciousnesses is, you know, the eye consciousness, the nose consciousness, ear consciousness, tongue consciousness, and the body consciousness, and conscious mind. Okay, conscious mind. Those are six consciousnesses. The seventh consciousness is quite different from those six consciousnesses because it is the very basic state of ego consciousness. Very strong ego consciousness. And then it appears very spontaneous. Very spontaneously. Spontaneously means very unconscious, it arises, very unconsciously and intentionally, or inborn, not automatic. Automatic is still the a sense of dichotomy, okay? But the very unintentionally, it is very, it is very intentionally or unconsciously and in wrong way. That is one point, because the manas itself doesn't create the ego, but with the manas there is some function of some quality of the manas. That quality of the manas is called sat-kaya-drishti, congenital concept of the eye. Okay? Before you're born, we have this kind of function, faculty of your consciousness. Okay? That is simultaneously, happens. That is one point. Second is homogeneous. Second is homogeneous means manas perceives no dichotomy of I and mine, but always I only. But six consciousnesses always dichotomize subject and object, and then we say I or mine, something like dichotomies. Okay? But this manas always perceive the I only. So always same. Manas remains in the same state of its own existence. Do you understand? Practically you experience. You always struggle in all circumstances, under all circumstances, because why? Because of, in an unconscious level, there is a consciousness which remains in the same, always same in one state of its own existence. That is energy to them. Do you understand? If your circumstances is very bad, you really struggle crying, this is also energy to them. And if you feel happy, that is also energy to them. Very unconsciously, it's always going. With your head, always you say, I am ready to die, or I am ready to do this, or to do that. I understand, I am ready to accept you or not, whatever you say. You know, it's always nothing but the world of conceptualizations. But beyond this one, there is a great energy to live. All under all circumstances, you know, this is called manas. Okay? Manas remains in the same and one state of existence, so-called the inborn concept of the I. So no I and mine, okay? But six consciousnesses always say I and mine, you and yours, means dichotomies. Okay? That is the second and the perpetual. Okay? Manati is constantly going. Okay. Constantly going means six consciousness doesn't go constantly. For instance, I and you, I separate, okay? But you cannot always remain in the same state of I and you. Always changing. Sometimes you become I, and I become you. So always changing. You are right, I am wrong. This is a dichotomy, but it doesn't go in constantly. So next moment is turn over. So you are right, I am wrong, I am right, you are wrong. So it's not perpetual. Okay? But heaven's consciousness is perpetual. Perpetual means complete beyond your understanding. It's always going. So, if you study and practice Buddhism through meditation zazen, then you can go deeply. If you feel, if you understand even intellectually about manas, which has three characteristics, it is spontaneous and perpetual and homogeneous. If you understand this manas, characteristic of manas, even intellectually, you can go deep, you can touch something deep of, about you. So through the practice, okay, through the meditation, not only understanding with your head, but practically, you touch, you feel directly this one. That is called deep understanding, profound understanding of the self. And then if you really feel the state of the manas, how it is going, okay, spontaneously and homogeneously and perpetually, okay, that means completely no concept. No concept. You cannot put any concept on it because it's perpetual. It's vast. So, that manas is, understand manas is kind of, manas is kind of a dead end of your life, okay? But on the other end, manas is not dead end, that is a start point. You can go any place. So that's why if you practice zazen in the beginning, you can feel good. You can feel very satisfactory. But if you go deeply, you come to the terminal stations, so you don't know. It's really don't know. The more you practice on, the more you see that something confused. But I think you cannot stop it. So you have to go deep and deep, going through and through. And then, naturally, you can see, you can touch very deeply and directly that mass, okay? Which is spontaneous and perpetual homogeneous. Then manas become very vast. So finally, what you have to do is give up. Give up means let go of your head. Means let go of your thoughts. We see all the self, you know, through the head. Okay? That self is something fabricated by a thinking process, subject and object. So very naturally, it is always changeable. So we don't know what it is. We always believe that as the self and also believe it fully and jump into it and live with it, and then finally pretty confused. That always happens. So I think finally give up means let go of all thoughts, because the more you try to get it, the more you feel unsatisfactory. So I always mention that the partition between dead end and also eternity, it's spontaneous, something spontaneous, perpetual, and homogeneous. Okay? The other side is something like that. This side is human world. There is no space to poke your head into it. Okay? This is human world. Then if you practice them deeply, and then you can touch this partition. That partition is, I always mention, just like a curtain. It's not bored. It's not sharp. It's very soft, very soft. It's not the cardboard, it's not a piece of paper, it's very thin curtain. Okay? If you touch it, it moves. If you touch, and then finally you can, immediately you can go this way. Okay? You can participate in eternal and something vast. But what we want to know is, okay, something about this partition. I say curtain, but actually it's no curtain there. But I have to say curtain because you can transmute your life into something vast. Okay? In other words, you can turn over a new life. If so, if you go deeply and then touch something and then turn over, okay, then something you have touched is what? We want to know. And then, what is it? What kind of power it is? How we can transmute or transform our life into something vast? We want to know. That is, I say, curtain. If I say curtain, that is a kind of a very thin, small crack between human world and eternity. Okay? But actually nothing to know. Nothing. Unfortunately or fortunately, nothing. Fortunately means that if you do it, you can turn naturally. You can do it. You can experience. But unfortunately means if you try to know, the more you can't know it. So even though you touch it and then you don't know it, you don't know what it is. Because consciousness always try to know, okay? Try to know. So we don't know how vast the human world is. So that's why Shikantaza you do is completely throw away your thoughts and just sit down, okay? That's all you can. That is called enlightenment. But we don't believe it. But this is nothing else, nothing else. So this is the best way we can do it. So that's why there is no space, no room for you to poke ahead, but on this kind of foundation we have to practice, okay? But we do always do something on the foundation of expectation, all right? You understand? Always you, if I do this, and then I can get A or B. Okay? Then I want to do. That means already there is something you can expect in front of you. And then we do. So that is, the more you try to do, you cannot get it because of it changing. Okay. So that's what Buddhism always try to present you. There is no foundation, no foundation particularly, because it's vast, vast. And then in the vast state of existence, we have to build up a house. Intellectually, it's impossible, but spiritually, we can do it. This is our practice. So just sitting is nonsense, but on the foundation of nonsense, uselessness, and then you can do the thing as useful. What is that? This is perfect peace and harmony. That's Dogen's intimations here. Dogen Zenji also mentions another the paragraph. He says, when the people first seek the Dharma, they are far from the bounds of the Dharma. Okay? Once the Dharma is always conveyed in oneself, immediately original nature of the self is manifested. So that means there is no space for you to poke it, because it is nothing but the delusion. But if you go deeply into the delusion fabricated by your effort, okay, that ends. Terminal station of the delusion is big scale of a delusion, so you can participate in something vast. That's why Buddha is what? Buddha is person who enlightened, attained, and realized very deeply what delusion is. That is called Buddha. That is Buddhist psychology mentions as a Manas. Okay? Manas is kind of abyss of the human life, darkness, because no space to do something good by our effort. This is a Manas. This is the energy to live. But if you use it, if you go deeply, and if you understand, contemplate deeply about this one, that energy of your life can be used in a big scale. That is very important for us. That's why we have to train our intellectual understanding, six consciousnesses. Anyway, come down constantly and touch this mass. And then if you touch the mass, still we live in the world of conceptualization, so-called concept of the mass. So still we have to go through the practice again and again, and then taste very deeply, directly, what the mass is. Then you can see something vast. That time, you can just sit down. When you do, that's it. But it doesn't mean take sleep. It doesn't mean sleep there. Your eyes is always open and to see what's going on there, and nevertheless, you are not tossed away by, and being constantly present from day to day, from moment to moment, with straight posture. This is Zazen posture. This is Zazen. Whatever you do, thinking, walking, and working at the office, whatever you do, you should do in that way. Otherwise, you never feel peaceful. There is no foundation, no space for you to poke ahead what it is, I want to gain, I want to satisfy yourself, no way. And the foundation of the no room, no space for you, but you have to practice there. Then you can develop your personality, your life with all sentient beings. Okay? It's very difficult in practice this in our everyday life. That's why particularly we have this kind of particular session, situations, and then practice. That is a zazen. Okay? If you do on a daily basis again and again, and then it's manifest, it penetrates into everyday life unconsciously. So if you don't practice, if you don't zazen like this, it's very difficult to deal with human life. Even not happiness, even not unhappiness. It's very difficult. That's why, day by day, we have to practice this one. Okay? Because in a sense, we are stubborn, very stubborn. So, everyone, very stubborn. But we don't know how stubborn we are. But bodhisattvas, ancestors in the history know clearly how stubborn we are. That is, at that time you become bodhisattva. But we don't know. We don't know how stubborn we are.